Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 443. This will be aired on the 5th of October during the Feast of Tabernacles. I will be gone. This is pre-recorded. We're in the book of Acts. We'll be doing chapters 14 and 15 today. I suggest you have some writing materials to take notes, as usual. And in case you missed a show, or you want to get a copy of the Torah or the Prophets, my website is https, as in sugar, :// www.pastor-steve.com. If you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get all kinds of people. A bunch of people are using that. So that's my website, and go under things for sale there. And you can get a copy of the Torah or the Prophets. The Prophets is done. It's even bigger than the Torah because of all the books and all the notes. So, big book. I'll have them with me down at Feast of Tabernacles. Let's get started in the book of Acts in chapter 14 here. Verse 1. And it came to be in Iconion that they went together into the congregation of the Yahudim, that's the Judeans, and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Yahudim, that's Judeans, and Greeks, those were the Hellenes, believed. Those were Israelites that had been living under Greek rule. Okay. Verse 2. And here's the other side of the coin. But the Yahudim who would not obey stirred up the nations and evilly influenced their beings against the brothers. So you had real Judahites and then you had the fakes who were stirred up people from other nations, whether they were Israelites or not, and had them against the brothers. Okay. Verse 3, so they remained a long time, speaking boldly in the Master, that's Yahshua, who was bearing witness to the word of his favor, giving signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4, and the crowd of the city was divided, and some sided with the Yehudim and some with the emissaries. Verse 5, but when a move took place by both the nations and Yehudim with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, verse 6, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lucaonia and the country round about. Okay, it was just as it is today with Israelites that don't want to obey, that are in the Judeo-Christian churches, and they hate Christian identists, okay? Same deal, same deal. Some of these people were Judahites, some were not. They had mixed people. They had Edomites in with them. So they were the ones that were stirring people up. Verse 7, and they were bringing the good news there. Verse 8 of chapter 14, and in Lystra there was sitting a certain man disabled in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Verse 9, this one heard Shaul speaking, who, looking intently at him and seeing that he had belief to be healed, verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he sprang up and began to walk. Verse 11, and when the crowd saw what Shaul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lucaonian, the mighty ones have become like men and come down to us. These were Greeks, and they were Zeus worshippers. They were pagans. And they had to straighten this out. Verse 12, and they called Barnabas Zeus and Shaul Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Verse 13, and the priest of Zeus, being in front of their city, brought oxen and wreaths to the gates and wished to offer with the crowd. They were going to sacrifice them. Verse 14. And when the emissaries, Barnabas and Shaul, heard this, they tore their garments and ran in among the crowd, crying out. Tearing of the garments is a sign of grief and consternation. Okay. Verse 15. And saying, men, why are you doing this? We are also men with the same nature as you, bringing to you the good news to turn from these worthless matters to the living Elohim, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And for verse 15, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. That's Exodus 20:11. Psalm 146, verse 6. That's Psalm 146, verse 6. And 4th Maccabees chapter 12, verse 13. That's 4th Maccabees 12:13. Continuing on, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Verse 16, who in past generations allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Now you can see, you can reference verse 17, 30 right there. Verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 30, pardon me, chapter 17, verse 30, on that. Though, verse 17, though indeed he did not leave himself without witness doing good, giving us rain from heaven and fruit-bearing seasons, filling our heart with food and gladness. And for that, you can reference Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew 5, 45. Okay? For that verse. Verse 18. Even with these words, they still had difficulty in stopping the crowds from offering to them. They were going to offer up sacrifices to Shaul and Barnabas. Oh, man. Verse 19. But Yehudim arrived from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they lied about them. Okay, these are the same ones. They followed them. Having won over the crowds, they stoned Shaul, dragging him out of the city, thinking he was dead. Well, verse 20. But while the taught ones gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And on the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21 of chapter 14. Pardon me, let me get a little drink of coffee here. Ah, yes. Verse 21. And having brought the good news to that city, and having made many taught ones, in other words, a lot of converts, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the beings of the taught ones, encouraging them to continue in the belief, and that through many pressures, we have to enter the reign of Elohim. In other words, there's going to be tribulation in our lives. We're going to be persecuted. There's going to be a lot of problems. Well, we see that today. If you're a believer and you try to live according to what Yeshua taught, the world is going to give you trouble. Okay? Verse 23. And having appointed elders in every assembly, having prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Master in whom they had believed. So they let Yeshua guide them through the Holy Spirit. Verse 24. And having passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Verse 25. And having spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attaleia. Verse 26. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been committed to the favor of Elohim for the work which they had completed. Verse 27. And having arrived, and having gathered together the assembly, they related all that Elohim had done with them, and that he had opened the door of belief to the nations. Now, the nations are not the Gentiles. Those were Israelites from the nations of dispersion. Okay? These were all Israelites. Okay? Verse 28. And they remained there a long time with the taught ones. That ends chapter 14 of the book of Acts. More coffee. That's good. Now we'll get into chapter 15. It's a longer chapter, and there are more notes, but not too many. Let's get into chapter 15 here, verse 1. And certain men came down from Yahuda and were teaching the brothers. Now this is what they were teaching. And I'm going to explain this in just a second. Unless you are circumcised according to the practice of Moshe, you are unable to be saved. Okay. If you're an adult and you were never circumcised, and you're from one of these foreign nations that they were teaching, you're an Israelite. Circumcision necessary later, that's up to you, that's optional. You can be saved without being circumcised if you didn't know, okay? It's not the circumcision, it's the act of obedience. But new children, if you know the law and you know that there's circumcision, you're supposed to have it, the new children are to be circumcised. There's no excuse for not doing that today. You don't let a Jew do it because they're perverted and they don't do according to the Torah. They do it in their perverted way, okay? So the children born today need to be circumcised on the eighth day, the males. There's the difference, okay? And if an adult who's never been circumcised gets saved or born from above, if he becomes a believer, he's an Israelite, he's been living all his life, you come as you are, okay? Later on, if you choose to be circumcised, that's an option, okay? Verse 2 of chapter 15. So when Shaul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they arranged for Shaul and Barnabas and certain others of them to go up to Jerusalem to the emissaries and elders about this question. Okay, verse 3. So being sent on their way by the assembly, they passed through Phoenicia and Shomeron, that's Samaria, relating the conversion of the nations. And they were causing great joy to all the brothers. Now the nations is not the Gentiles. All right, that's always referring when converting the nations, Israelites from foreign lands that were in the dispersion, okay? Verse 4. And having arrived in Jerusalem, they were received by the assembly and the emissaries and the elders, and they reported all that Elohim had done with them. Verse 5. And some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the Torah of Moshe. Here's all this question. Okay, they're legalists. Verse 6. And the emissaries and elders came together to look into this matter. Verse 7. And for verse 7, you can reference Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 43. Acts 10, 1 through 43, verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Kepha rose up and said to them, men, brothers, you know that a good while ago Elohim chose among us that by my mouth the nations, that's the Israelites in dispersion, should hear the word of the good news and believe. Verse 8, and you can reference Acts chapter 2, verse 4, Acts 2, 4, and Acts 10, 44. Acts 10, 44, verse 8. And Elohim, who knows the heart of the heart. Okay. They were believers in their heart. Bore witness to them by giving them the set apart spirit, as also to us, verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by belief. All right, those people had never been circumcised. They came as they were to Yahshua. And Yahweh accepted them and gave them the set-apart spirit. Verse 10, now then, why do you try Elohim by putting a yoke on the neck of the taught ones, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Don't try to put all the law on them. They're not ready for that, and you don't keep the law either, is what he's saying. Verse 11, but through the favor of the Master Yahshua Messiah, we trust to be saved in the same way as they. Verse 12, and all the crowd was silent and were listening to Barnabas and Shaul, declaring how many miracles and wonders Elohim did among the nations, that's the Israelites in dispersion, through them. Verse 13, and after they were silent, Yaakov answered, saying, men, brothers, listen to me. All right, these racial brothers, racial kindred. Okay, that's who they're talking to. Verse 14. Shimon has declared how Elohim first visited the nations, that's the Israelites in dispersion, to take out of them a people for his name. That's all the foreign nations. He took the Israelites out of those nations. Verse 15, and the words of the prophet, prophets, plural, agree with this as it has been written. Now, verses 16 through 18, okay, you can reference Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Verse 16, after this I shall return and rebuild the booth of Dawud, which has fallen down, and I shall rebuild its ruins, and I shall set it up. Verse 17, so that the remnant of mankind shall seek Yahweh, even all the nations on whom my name has been called, says Yahweh, who is doing all this. All right, all the nations on whom my name has been called, that's all the Israelite nations. Okay. Verse 18, who has made this known from of old? They had to go out to the dispersion. That was their calling. Okay. Verse 19, because there was only so many in Jerusalem and Judah. They had to go out all over the place to everybody in dispersion. And the word is still going out to us in America and Europe, all those of Israelite descent. Still going on today. Verse 19, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the nations who are turning to Elohim. All right, don't force them to try to assimilate all the law. All right, verse 20. This is what they're supposed to do. But that we write to them to abstain from the defilements of idols. And there you reference Exodus 22:20. Leviticus 17:7, Deuteronomy 32, verses 17 and 21, 1 Corinthians 10, 14, 20 and 21. Okay. All right, that's that first portion of this passage. And from whoring, that's section B, and you reference Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, and Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. Okay. And from what is strangled, and you can reference Genesis 9:4, and Yahyahu 33, verse 25. And strangled, that's one way of eating meat with the blood. And Acts 21, 25. All right, they didn't bleed the animal out. That's from the problem. That's the problem of the strangled. And from blood, and that's D of this verse. And that's Leviticus 3:17 and chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. And Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. So that covers just verse 20. There's all those notes just for verse 20. Verse 21. For from the ancient generations Moshe has in every city those proclaiming him, being read in the congregations every Shabbat. Verse 22. Then it seemed good to the emissaries and elders with all the assembly to send chosen men from among them to Antioch with Shaul and Barnabas. Yehuda being called Barsabba, and Silas leading men among the brothers. Verse 23, having written by their hand this, the emissaries and the elders and the brothers, to the brothers who are of the nations, that's the dispersion, in Antioch, in Ansuria and Cilicia, greetings. Verse 24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your lives, to whom we gave no command. Verse 25. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Shaul. Verse 26. Men who have given up their lives for the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah. In other words, they just dropped everything and they're in the service. Verse 27. We have therefore sent Yehuda and Silas, who are also confirming this by word of mouth. Verse 28. For it seemed good to the set-apart spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessities. And they're going to repeat this, okay? Verse 29. That you abstain from what is offered to idols, and blood, and what is strangled, and whoring. Same deal. Let's see verse 20. Okay. If you keep yourselves from these, you shall do well. Be strong. And for verse 29, you can reference 4 Maccabees, chapter 5, verse 2, 4 Maccabees 5, verse 2, and also back to verse 20 that I read before. Verse 30, they therefore, being sent off, went to Antioch, and having gathered the crowd together, they delivered the letter. Verse 31, and having read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Verse 32, and Yehuda and Silas, being themselves also prophets, encouraged the brothers with many words and strengthened them. Verse 33, and having spent some time, they were sent back in peace from the brothers to the emissaries. Verse 34, but it seemed good to Silas to remain. Verse 35, and Shaul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and bringing with many others also the good news, the word of Yahweh. Verse 36, and after some days, Shaul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of Yahweh and see how they are. Verse 37, and Barnabas purposed to take with them Yohanan, called Marcos. That's Mark. Okay. Verse 38. And you can reference Acts 13. Verse 13. Okay. Acts 13, 13. Verse 13. Yohanan had left them and returned to Jerusalem. So that refers to that. Verse 38, but Shaul thought it not fit to take with them the one who withdrew from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Well, there was anxiety there with Shaul. Verse 39, a sharp feeling therefore came to be so that they parted from one another. They had a disagreement and fell out. And so Barnabas took Marcos and sailed to Cyprus. Verse 40, and Shaul chose Silas and went off, being committed by the brothers to the favor of Elohim. Verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the assemblies. Well, that ends chapter 15. Now let's get into chapter 16. There's virtually no notes for 16. It's just straight text. They don't have a lot of references with this particular chapter. So let's get started with it. Verse 1 of chapter 16. And he came to Derbe and Lystra, and see, a certain taught one was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain Yahudi woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now, it could have been a Greek Israelite. Okay. Who was well spoken of by the brothers who were at Lystra and Iconium. Here we go again. Verse 3. Shaul wished to have this one go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Yahudim who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was Greek. That's a Hellen, okay? So that eliminated any problems with those particular legalists. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the regulations to keep, which were decided by the emissaries and the elders at Jerusalem. In other words, they laid down the rules. This is how you're supposed to do things. Verse 5. Then, indeed, the assemblies were strengthened in the belief and increased in number every day. Verse 6. And having passed through Phrygia and the Galatian country, they were forbidden by the set-apart spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were entering into territory that was not of Israelite people, so they didn't preach. You're not to preach to the others. Verse 7. When they came to Musia, that's M-U-S-I-A, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. They couldn't go there either. All right. There, Yahweh doesn't want everybody. He only wants true Israelites. Verse 8, and having passed by Musia, they came down to Troas. Let me get another little drink of coffee here. Verse 9, and in the night a vision appeared to Shaul, a man of Macedonia, that's Macedonia, okay, was standing begging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. And when he saw the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the master had called us to bring the good news to them. They were Israelites over there. Verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrake, and the next day to Neapolis, verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is the principal city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. It's an Israelite colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Verse 13. And on the Shabbat day, we went outside the city by a river where there used to be prayer. And having sat down, we were speaking to the women who met there. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. That's T-H-Y-A-T-I-R-A. Thyatira. Worshipping Elohim was hearing, whose heart the master did open to pay attention to what Shaul said. Verse 15. And when she was immersed, she was baptized in the name of Yeshua, and her household, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be believing in the Master, come to my house and stay. And she urged us. Okay, here's interesting stuff here. Verse 16, and it came to be as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of Puthon did meet us, who brought her masters much profit by foretelling. She was a fortune teller. She had a demonic spirit. Verse 17. Having followed Shaul and us, she cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High Elohim, who proclaim to us the way of deliverance." The Spirit was proclaiming that through her, because it knew. Verse 18. And she was doing this for many days. But Shaul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Yeshua Messiah to come out of her." And it came out that same hour. Now this caused problems. Listen to this, verse 19. But when her masters saw that their anticipation of money-making was gone, in other words, she was telling fortunes for them, they were getting the profit off of it, they seized Shaul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the rulers. Verse 20, and having brought them to the captains, they said, "These men, being Yehudim," that's Judeans, "greatly disturb our city. And they proclaim practices which are not right for us to receive nor to do, being Romans." That was a Roman colony. You understand? It was a Roman colony. And they went to the Israelites that were living in this Roman colony. Verse 22. And the crowd rose up together against them. They lied, and they got the crowd stirred up. And the captains tore off their garments and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Verse 23. They really messed up. And having laid many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who, having received such a command, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Shaul and Silas were praying and singing songs to Elohim, and the prisoners were listening to them. 26. And suddenly, a great earthquake took place, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and all the chains came loose. Yahweh did that. Verse 27. And the jailer, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, thinking the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Verse 28. But Shaul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm to yourself, for we are all here." Verse 29. And asking for a light, he ran in and fell down trembling before Shaul and Silas. Verse 30. And having led them outside, he said, "Master, what do I have to do to be saved?" All right, he was a Roman of the Zera branch of the tribe of Judah. And what was a pure-blood Israelite. Verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Master Yeshua Messiah, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Verse 32. And they spoke the word of Yahweh to him and to all who were in his house. Verse 33. And taking them in that hour of the night, taking them in that hour of the night, he took them into his own home. Okay? He washed their wounds, and immediately he was immersed, he and all that were his. His whole household got baptized. Verse 34. And having brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced with all his household, having believed in Elohim. Verse 35, and when the day came, the authorities sent the officers, saying, let these men go. Verse 36, and the jailer reported these words to Shaul, saying, the captains have sent to let you go. Now then, come out and go in peace. Verse 37. But Shaul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, being Romans. They were Roman citizens. They have thrown us into prison, and now do they throw us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and bring us out. Verse 38. And the officers reported these words to the authorities, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Because the Romans were dominating the whole area. That was a Roman colony. And Roman citizens were of the highest status. Verse 39. And having come, they pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to leave the city. In other words, they had to beg. Please, please. Ha, ha, ha. Verse 40. So coming out of the prison, they went to Lydia, and seeing the brothers, they encouraged them and went forth. And that ends chapter 16. Boy, we're making some serious progress here. These are some marvelous reads. They are. They're fabulous. I am really enjoying this. Chapter 17 is next. I don't know how far I can get into it. It's got 34 verses, and I have about 10 minutes. Let's see here. I've got 16 done. I've got about 10 minutes. There's not a lot of notes here. Let's go for it. Chapter 17 of the book of Acts. And having passed through Amphipolis, boy, that's a tongue twister, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a congregation of the Yahudim, the Judahites, okay? Verse 2. And according to his practice, Shaul went in unto them, and for three Shabbats was reasoning with them from the scriptures. Because he was a former Pharisee. Okay. Verse 3, explaining and pointing out that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this is the Messiah, Yeshua, whom I proclaim to you. Verse 4. And some of them did believe, and a large number of the worshiping Greeks, that's the Hellenes, Israelites that had been living under Greek dominion, and not a few of the leading women joined Shaul and Silas. Verse 5, but the Yehudim who did not believe, having become envious, in other words, they were losing their thunder, took some of the wicked men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and came upon the house of Jason, and were seeking to bring them out to the people. Verse 6. But not finding them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers to the city rulers, crying out, they who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Verse 7. whom Jason has received, and all of them are acting contrary to the dogmas of Caesar, saying there is another sovereign, Yeshua. Verse 8. And they troubled the crowd and the city rulers when they heard this. Verse 9. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and the rest, they let them go. That's like a bail, okay? Verse 10. And the brothers immediately sent Shaul and Silas away by night to Beroea, who, having come, went into the congregation of the Yehudim. Verse 11. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, who received the word with great eagerness and searched the scriptures daily, if these words were so. They researched it. And that took care of that. Verse 12. Then many of them truly believed, and also not a few of the Hellenes, the Greeks, decent women as well as men. These were Israelites from Greek dominion. They're still Israelites. Verse 13. And when the Yehudim from Thessalonica came to know that the word of Elohim was proclaimed by Shaul at Beroea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Verse 14. And immediately the brothers sent Shaul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timotheus stayed there. Verse 15. And those who arranged for Shaul brought him to Athens. And receiving a command for Silas and Timotheus to join him as soon as possible, they departed. Verse 16. But while Shaul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up within him when he saw that the city was utterly idolatrous. They had all their pagan Greek gods there. Okay? That was the capital. Verse 17. Therefore, indeed, he was reasoning in the congregation with the Yehudim and with the worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who met there. Verse 18. And some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some were saying, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange mighty ones, because to them he brought the good news, Yeshua and the resurrection. Verse 19. So they laid hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, are we able to know what this fresh teaching is of which you speak? Verse 20. For you are bringing some strange matters to our ears. We wish then to know what these means. Verse 21. For all the Athenians and the strangers living there spent their leisure time in doing naught but to speak or hear what is fresh. And we're always looking for new entertainment. Verse 22. And having stood in the midst of the Areopagus, that evidently is a big meeting hall, Shaul said, men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every matter. Verse 23, and you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 1. For passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found a slaughter place, that's a place of sacrifice, with this inscription, to the unknown mighty one. Not knowing, then, whom you worship, I make him known to you. Verses 24 and 25, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 27. That's 1 Kings 8:27, and Isaiah 42, verse 5. Okay, verse 24. Yahweh, who made the world and all that is in it, this one being master of heaven and earth, does not dwell in dwellings made with hands. Verse 25, nor is he served with men's hands, as if needing any, himself giving to all life and breath and all else. And for verse 25, you can reference 2 Maccabees chapter 14, verse 35, and 3 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 26, reference 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 23. Verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having ordained beforehand the times and the boundaries of their dwelling. One blood, okay, that is Israel. He's speaking to the Israelites. He is not speaking to non-Israelites, okay? Verse 27. Reference Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. To seek the Master, if at least they would reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and are, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 29, now then, since we are the offspring of Elohim, we should not think that the Elohim is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by the skill and thought of man. Verse 30, truly then, having overlooked these times of ignorance, Elohim now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he has set a day on which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Having given proof of this to all by raising him from the dead. Speaking of Yeshua. Verse 32, and hearing of the resurrection of the dead, some indeed mocked, while others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. Verse 33, and so Shaul went out from among them. Verse 34, but some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Yahweh only wants those whom he draws, and he drew them. So that ends chapter 17. Boy, that was exciting. I will talk to you again on the next show, beginning with chapter 18. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.